is over, Moses brings forth the tablets of the Lord our God, Yahweh Sabaoth. Our biblical tradition depicts God walking in a garden. Adam, where are you? Abraham has a dream, a vision, a call. Follow thou me. I shall be your God. You shall be my people. The tribal God of Abraham and Moses becomes the God of the known world for the prophet Isaiah. It is he that sitteth above the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. The Lord our God is a great God. The Lord our God has done great things for us. We rejoice. Well, the psalmist sings, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. When Christianity confronted the Greek culture, the idea of God deepened. God is not far from each one of us. In him we live and move and have our very being. The Lord our God is a great God. With Copernicus, Galileo, and Kepler, the world became a vast universe. And the idea of God expanded again. Space flight, moonwalk, space stations, Mars, Hubble telescope peering into the deep. Jesko van Altomer called this the dynamic age. For the old had broken down so fast, so rapidly, so thoroughly, but the new cannot replace ideas and values fast enough. Progress becomes frightening. Dogmas are crumbling, uprooting, common. Humankind gripped in fear. With God beyond our comprehension and reason, we created our own gods. We became gods. Pascal noted that the way of God who disposes all things with gentleness is to instill religion into our minds with grace. He said, the heart has its reasons. Reason cannot understand. 30-year-old Angie Thurston entered Harvard Divinity School without any religious background. She rejected established religions and established one of her own. I wanted a community with a shared goal, not a shared religious creed. So she is the central figure of a boomlet of students, secular, unaffiliated, so-called nuns. That's not the ones with habits. Pew Research reports that a third of our millennials, born 1981 to 1996, are nuns, N-O-N-E-S. Their cause supported by Greg Epstein, a U of M grad, by the way, who is Harvard's humanist chaplain. The sacred text there includes Harry Potter, Neil Simon. Thurston's independent study was on Jane Eyre as a holy book. Other liberal seminaries like Chicago Divinity School have similar groups. And to be transparent, I didn't check out our Presbyterian seminaries. Christianity has two realms. The natural and the divine. For we are natural beings with a supernatural destiny. But our greatness is based upon God's gift of eternal life. The realization that begins now, and its full fruition comes in the kingdom of God. The unique claim of our faith is that God loves and cares for every living thing and being upon planet Earth. God claims them for Jesus Christ. We claim to be created in God's image, fallen, redeemable through Christ. And we know that by God's inspiration that we're a chosen people, a church. Our biblical faith depicts a pageant of God's dealing with his people, called to serve as witnesses, whether here in Dearborn, in Madagascar, to the ends of the earth. Showing people what it is that is required in order to have life, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God in Christ, to love one another. But our world writhes in pain. Tribes, nations, peoples locked in bitter battles. In Syria, a quarter of a million dead. Yemen, millions hungry. Israel, a warning of a third in Tatafah, as women and stab innocent Israelis with a deadly response. Turkey in turmoil, Europe rocked by thousands of refugees, Germany's Merkel under fire from her party, while Hungary completes the wall. No more, they say. That's the current mood there and here. For the U.S. is not free from pain. More military is sent to police the world. College campus deaths mount with leadership wrestling with moral codes, as is our Michigan legislature. Our God is a great God. In Christ, God shared a vision for this world. That vision, that kingdom, has come, is come, will come. For we're a pilgrim people living in the light and the presence of a goal. The church lives in the light and the presence of a crucified and resurrected Lord. Our worship celebrates Christ's victory over evil and sin and death. And we anticipate victory. At worship, the church is the intersection of those two worlds, the fallen, broken, divided world, and that world which is to come. At worship, what is to come enters the present. Our sins are forgiven, absorbed evil, inspirited in us, divine assistance in our efforts. Paul tells us to train ourselves in godliness. Now remember, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Israel calls it the Shema. It has the components: heart training for endurance, mind training for attitude, internal fitness for soul, strength training, muscle mass. Ironman Mark Allen had a 16-week program. He calls it a meditation for the body. Heart training builds endurance. To be able to love God and neighbor takes a constant stream of commitment. So Allen urges athletes to train slowly and to be patient, you know, like Lions fans. Over the long term, build up the stamina. Mind training is attitude. Allen believes attitude is everything. A mind trained in godliness controls selfish and hurtful thoughts, chooses to that which love demands. Soul training has to do with what Allen called listening to your body to tell you what it needs. You see, our greatest danger is malnutrition. Malnutrition of the soul. The unattended soul sours, pollutes the heart, mind, and body. It's in need of prayer and meditation and Bible study and community. Strength training calls for better muscles, not bigger muscles. The Shema advocates loving God with all our strength. Our fitness does not depend upon pedestaled celebrities, but upon Jesus Christ. For we have been called, chosen, appointed by our love to serve this world, by our witness to save it. I remind the millennials and the nuns, you do not have to be perfect. In our tech world, one pen, did Jesus use a modem on the Sermon on the Mount? Did he ever try a broadcast fax to send his message out? Did Paul use a laptop with lots of RAM and ROM? Were his letters posted on a BBS at paul.rome.com? Did Jesus really die for us one day upon a tree? Or was it just a hologram or technical wizardry? Have the wonders of this modern age make you question what is true? How a single man in simpler time could offer life anew? How a sinless man, a cruel death, then glorious life again, could offer more to a desperate world than all the inventions of men? If in your life the voice of God is sometimes hard to hear, with other voices calling, his doesn't touch your ear, then set aside your laptop, iPhone, modem, and all your fancy gear. Open your Bible. Open your heart. Let your Father draw near. My dear friends, let your love be sincere. Be devoted to one another. Joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Faith